Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if this all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBNB. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if this all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBNB.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAPBNB. My name is Mike Bloom, and we are BN back to talk about some Survivor for another season, Survivor Ghost Island. The BNB, even though it's gotten a little spookier, a little darker, we are set up, took a brief hiatus after season 35, but we are ready to go. But I would not be here without the other B to my B, the Mrs. Smith to my Mr. Smith, I suppose. Someone whose IQ is a squiggle, Liana Boris. Liana, how are you doing?
I'm good. I've carved up all the pumpkins. I've put up all of the paper mache ghosts. We are ready for the spooky playground that is Ghost Island.
Perfect. The monkey bars are all set. We're ready for people to play. And I'd like to thank, you know, the other person that we're having on this podcast for really doing all the legwork and getting all of that jungle gym equipment set up. He is reversing his own curse, the curse on his voice that has been waylaying his speaking ability for the past month or so. But we are so happy to have him on here, our de facto head writer of the RHAP B&B, Mr. Paul Osselson. Paul, how are you doing?
Hello, hello. Yes, you know, the reason my voice went out is because in the off season, we had a lot of events going on at the B&B. You know, we had Daddy's weekend. Mm. There was a lot of cleaning up to do after that. We had the Cuddle with Krampus event going on. And after making the Krampus noise for so long, you know, the blah, 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 eventually your voice just goes out. So I'm recovering from a bit of laryngitis, but I will hang in there with you guys. Thank you for having me on.
It's the ghost of Paul's voice.
Ooh. Can we reverse it? Yeah, it sounds like, I don't know, I'm pretty sure when you do the Krampus tongue too much, like the spirit leaves you, and that's pretty much what you're left with, the husk of your former voice. Mm.
Right. It's very fitting for the theme of the season, so I'm glad I planned that all out.
So we've got a lot of random odds and ends to get to. We felt like we should get back together before the Survivor 36 preseason to sort of gather our thoughts, maybe put in some preseason predictions. We're not going to do it this episode, but we will be bringing back our prediction segment moving forward. So between now and when the season premieres, Leon and I are going to go through all 20 castaways, write our own narrative of, you know, in Liana's case, literal fan fiction as to who is going to do what and how far people are going to go. And every week as the people leave the show, we will be reading it back in our preseason predictions game, or as it was known for last season, the Liana Wins game. So we'll see if that name will continue to hold or if it will be a name changer or a game changer of a game. But overall, I just want to start by getting both of your thoughts on this idea of Ghost Island. We've got some questions that we want to get into more specifically, but, you know, we didn't talk too much about it. We had a lot of stuff to get to in that 35 finale podcast with Miles back in the end of December. But now that we know the theme, we know the cast, we know a little bit about what Ghost Island involves, I would love to hear from both of you what exactly you think of this twist overall before we really get any sort of details into it, and if you're excited for how it might have an impact on the game.
I love the fact that it's called Ghost Island. I know it's cheesy and people think that it might be stupid. It's so silly that I love it. So I'm here for Ghost Island. I don't know exactly how all of this is going to work out. You know, like you said, Mike, we don't know a lot of the details, but you know what? I'm excited. It's going to be something weird. It's going to be something different. I may grow to hate it, but on the outset, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Paul?
Yeah, I think the fact that we don't know a lot about it is the huge appeal of it. Like Leona said, we might jump into it and end up absolutely hating this twist, but it's so fun to guess what it's exactly going to happen. My brother's a pretty big Survivor fan, but doesn't get really too involved in the off-season stuff. He was at my house 2 days ago, and he goes, oh, wait, hold on. At the commercial, you need to tell me, wait, what is Ghost Island? Like, I don't get it. I was like, I don't really get it either. That's kind of the good part about it. So I think the mystery going into this season is really what's giving it momentum.
It's Ghost Mother Effing Island. How silly of a name is that? Oh my gosh,
That's what I should have told my brother. What is Ghost Island? It's Ghost Mother Effing Island.
Exactly. Yeah,
I wonder if Sandra would make an appearance on Ghost Island just so she can give that quote, and that'll be an episode title. I agree with you with the title. I mean, I love it when Survivor starts pulling episode titles and location places from Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? You know that, like, they're in such a fun place. And as someone who really appreciates the sillier and more lighthearted, chintzier elements of Survivor, I am all for it. And I'm also always someone who loves when a reality show acknowledges its history, especially its very distant history. And you know, the show is acknowledging, you know, pretty much like 20 seasons back and forward, to be quite honest, from what we've seen so far with Ghost Island and all of its promotional materials. But still, I mean, some other reality shows, Big Brother is an example, where like they barely acknowledge like anything before BB10, except for the occasional Dr. Will appearance. So to see, especially the Ghost Island art direction of hanging all those torch snuffers and really investing in the history of the show, I mean, as a super fan, I'm fascinated by it. And like you said, we have no idea how this is going to work. I think one of the downsides of having Exile Island be such a big player in some of those teen seasons is that, you know, the core concept behind it was, okay, someone's going to get exiled and then they're going to find the idol. And then if you guys remember all the episodes after someone found the idol, it was sort of like yada yadaing through Exile Island, where it's not like you can get rid of it after somebody finds the idol. So at least, again, we don't know how it's going to work, but it feels like they're at least trying to make up for that by always having something to go on in Ghost Island. I hope that we won't get a similar thing that we saw on Exile Island seasons with Ghost Island, where it's a smart strategy, but it makes for boring TV when one tribe just keeps sending the same player over and over again. You know, we've had the Sugar Shack. You know, I don't want the Donathan Island, you know, like the one person keeps getting sent consistently. And so they get all these advantages and then wreaks havoc on the game. I'm just curious to hear from the both of you. I know you're both very unsure as to how Ghost Island is going to work. Do you have any leading theories as to how you think it's going to be incorporated into the game?
My assumption is that there are literal ghosts on Ghost Island, so I'm kind of working with that theory right now. No, I have to imagine that there's going to be something with, we know that there are, Dalton Ross had the list of the idols or items that were going to be on Ghost Island, and there seem to be 15. I can't imagine that there's going to be one introduced each episode, right? I mean, that's just way too many. So I still think they're going to have to find the people who are sent to Ghost Island are going to have to find them. But I could see a situation where, you know, there's some sort of choice, some sort of decision where they actually don't have to search for the idol, but they're either given the option to take something or compete in a mini challenge or something in order to get that advantage. I don't know. It could be something along those lines.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you, Liana, and say, yes, CBS is going to introduce something new every single episode. And here's why I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to do it, one, because this is going to take the place of all hidden idols back at camp, and everything is going to be centered around Ghost Island. So if you take that in mind, okay, that's one idol or advantage coming out every single week. I think the way they're going to do stuff is, I think it's going to really, it's giving some structure to what they've been playing with the last few seasons with the idols and advantages and different types of idols and different types of advantages. And that really gives a structured place where it's introduced every week. And every week there's some kind of twist of things. Like, I'm thinking about maybe once we get to the merge, there's something about Eric's idol, that the way that this curse will be reversed. You know, he gave away his immunity and got voted out. Now you're given the advantage that you're able to steal immunity from someone and put it on whoever you want, or something like that. So I think they're going to have fun with it every week, but I do think there will be an idol or advantage every week at Ghost Island.
It's interesting.
And another thing to keep in mind is, you know, Ghost Island and Heroes, Healers, Hustlers were filmed back to back, with obviously Heroes, Healers, Hustlers being filmed before. And that was a season that we saw with a lot of advantages. And so assuming that they're sort of having a similar mentality, yeah, I mean, we could see something like that where there's just a buttload out there on Ghost Island.
And I forget where I read this or heard this, but I believe in terms of actually sending people to Ghost Island, at least for the first few rounds, because I know that starting off, especially in these big 20-person seasons, they usually only do one challenge an episode. What's going to happen is one tribe wins, and I think they pick one person from the losing tribe to go to Ghost Island and not go to tribal council. The old, you know, Bruce Candace stuff that was going on back in seasons 12 and 13. So maybe that's also going to, like, in terms of airtime, it'll come in sort of the second half of the episode. So it might not necessarily clog up all the stuff that's going on in the first half of the episode. Maybe that'll change up once, you know, if we switch tribes or if reward challenges start getting incorporated. I'll be intrigued to see as well when Ghost Island ends, if at all. They might keep sending people up until, you know, the final three, which would be insane. But at least, you know, they've really invested in the concept. I would not be surprised. I agree with Paul. If they just are so invested in this theme and this idea that they feel like they almost need to make it incorporated into each and every episode.
Ugh, I'm all for Ghost Island, but an advantage in every single episode? How crazy.
But maybe, Leona, I can see maybe your point, and maybe there's something where it's a part one of two that you need to get or something like that. They could maybe stretch it out a little bit, but I'm more inclined to stay on my position of something new every single week.
All right, well, let's get into some more specific questions. And we're trying something out, as we always are, with the B&B this season. We're going to try to incorporate more discussion-based questions about the episode in with all the fun Survivor game stuff that we usually do. So we're going to start out here with something we hope to be recurring called Three Questions. Now, what happened is each of us brought a general question about either Survivor as a franchise and 36 plays into it, or the actual season of Ghost Island that we will post to everyone and discuss away and see where said discussion may take us. Leona, what question did you bring to us?
Yeah, so my question is about the cast. So there's a lot of discussion, and Jeff Probst has said this, how they wanted a lot of super fans, because like you said, Mike, this is a season of Survivor that acknowledges its history. So I wanted to ask this question of how do we think the cast of predominantly super fans is going to change the gameplay this season?
Paul, do you have any thoughts about this one?
Yeah, I think what is super exciting about this season, it's kind of funny. There was, you know, speculation like, you know, over a year ago before we knew anything about Ghost Island, that would there be a fans versus favorites three? And I feel like everyone was like, no, because it didn't work out. It's really ironic that this is the season out of, you know, the three, the last, you know, 10 years ago with, or 10 seasons ago with 26 and 10 before that with 16. This is like the first time we actually have a whole season of fans. Like they are way better and bigger fans than the two seasons who had tribes that were called the fans. So I think it's interesting the fact that if people's identity are not going to be defined by the fact they're a fan. And if anything, people who are not the fans may have the potential to stick out. So what I'm personally hoping for, one of the points that Sophie Clark has made on the podcast a couple times, is that one thing that she gets tired of on Survivor is the super meta nature of it. Like she doesn't want to hear people every time saying that, like their own personal journey that they've watched us all the time to go on the show. Obviously, that's going to be a big part of the season because you're going to be talking about all these things you've watched over the past 36 seasons. But I think hopefully from a strategic game point, the fact that they're bringing that everyone's kind of on the same level, there isn't going to be as much of a discrepancy of I'm trying to prove myself because I know the game and other people don't. I think hopefully the assumption is everyone does know the game. And so we can jump right into what's the strategy this season? What are these past mistakes? And I'm just hoping it kind of just gives everyone a bump up and we don't have to do that stretch to, okay, I really know the game above everyone else, because look around, everyone knows the game.
Mm-hmm. So you're hoping they sort of cancel each other out?
Yes, like an idol vote, you know, cancel out those votes, cancel those extra things. I just don't want to hear every time about like, oh, well, I'm such a big fan and I know every move. It's like, yeah, we get it. That's why you were cast. We had to cast people who knew the show in order to implement this twist. So that's my hope.
Do you think that when people start finding out about like Ghost Island, because I feel like everyone's going to try to hide their super fan status just because they know how that might make you a bit of a danger. But like once Ghost Island comes into play, do you think people are just going to, they can't help themselves and they're just going to completely squee over each and everything that they find on Ghost Island?
I would totally do that if I were on the season.
I
never thought that I would be starstruck by an effing stick, but I probably would be.
Stick struck.
That's right.
If you had to like rank like returning players over the course of history and like rank which ones you'd actually get super excited about, and then you like rank the effing stick in that list, I feel like that would be very high up above many people who you would actually be excited to play.
Oh, yeah.
What percentile do you think the stick would fall in? I'd say comfortably probably like the 30th percentile. Oh, yeah. I could see 70% of Survivor alums that people would be less excited to see than the stick.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. So oh, my gosh.
Ugh. So to answer your question, Leona, yeah, I'm seeing what you're talking about the storytelling aspects of it. I mean, in terms of the gameplay, I mean, you would hope that it would be, you'd think like, oh, superfan equates to be more cutthroat because they know the game and they understand that it's just a game. But I don't know. Part of me feels like that's just sort of words. Like a lot of this preseason stuff, especially the questions that Josh was asking about, like, are there lines in the game? How will you feel when you get blindsided? How you were as a loser? Like, as much as people may speculate on it, we'll see what happens in the moment. And I feel like these super fans will figure out the emotional attachment to the game and how some of them love Survivor, but some of them might not necessarily be cut out for the cutthroat aspects of Survivor, or some of them really are to their detriment. So I'd be hesitant to say that it will necessarily change the actual gameplay, just because maybe Paul's right in that, you know, their fandom will cancel each other out. So they're just left with themselves as Survivor players and who they are as people, which, as we got to know, like, these people are not defined by their Survivor fandom like some previous contestants might be. These are some really interesting people who sort of just have that sprinkled layer of super fandom on top.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's always a discussion of, oh, you know, they, especially on Big Brother, you know, too many recruits. We need to cast more fans. I think really you need the right balance of super fans and recruits, because I think that that makes the game more interesting. I think as far as the, you know, these super fans, just because you're a fan of something doesn't mean you're going to be good at it. I mean, I watch figure skating, but put some skates on me and I fall down. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how all of these super fans sort of actually play the game of Survivor. And it might be a hot mess.
Yeah, to that point, I mean, again, this might be a hot take on my part, but I have been very vocal in the past about the fact that I'm okay with recruits. I mean, even someone like the beloved Stephen Fishback, once upon a time, you know, was a recruit for the game of Survivor. I would say I'm more so against uniform casting. Like, for example, Survivor Palau was a very recruited season, but there was a lot of gripes about the cast initially because a lot of them were this sort of generic Californian Mactor type. Whereas, you know, you have a cast like Survivor Fiji, which is not the most well-regarded, but there's a lot of interesting personalities on there that come from a variety of different backgrounds. So I mean, as a super fan, I do love seeing my fellow super fans on there, but I'm personally fine with recruiting people to bring onto the show. As long as you're an entertaining personality, I don't really give a crap if you know the game or not. You're going to figure out the game real soon once you hit that beach either way.
Well, and it's my hope that because all these people have the super fan background, that you don't have the one or two people where that's their thing. Like, you're going to have something else to be a character on the show because everyone's a fan. So we're going to see these people as, you know, whatever their occupations or where they're from or their personalities, and not going back to the fact of, I'm a super fan, I've seen this from day one, because everyone's going to be kind of having that jargon as it is. So I think the people who are going to shine are really going to have to be the strong personalities.
Yeah, I usually sort of gloss over when people are talking about their fandom, but I will say when Stephanie Johnson was talking about how she put it on her dream board, I laughed at that bit.
Paul, I'm surprised you mentioned somebody's thing. Ashley Nolan is now shook. She has turned off the podcast because now she knows that that's not her thing.
Yeah, apologies.
That's a great Ponderosa video.
I love that. Hopefully we'll get some really fun Ponderosa videos, because I am, in general, really do like this cast. It seems like a really dynamic group of people from a variety of different backgrounds. Speaking of which, Paul, I know that you have a discussion question about the cast specifically as well.
Yes, I have a discussion question and then a quick kind of rapid fire question that ties into it. So I want to first start with, speaking of this cast, what like vibes are you getting from this cast as far as past seasons? And maybe it's also with a theme, and that you can incorporate that too. Like, when you saw this cast, when you looked through their bios, are there any vibes you're getting from past contestants or past seasons that really feel like this could echo some of those past seasons?
The millennials, the young people tribe from Nicaragua. They're also young. I don't know.
Every young tribe. Sukja, exactly. Young tribe. Yeah. The young women plus the young men.
Viveros. Yes. Yeah, I mean, they are a very young. I mean, I feel like millennials versus Gen X is the first one to come to mind. And it might just be because of the power of suggestion that a lot of them were talking about millennials versus Gen X. I'd say, you know, if you're playing the bio reading game, drink every time that someone mentions how much they love Michaela. That's a great example of it, considering they just saw that cycle. But I don't know if I necessarily compare it to them. Maybe it's like the Adam, Zeke, Hannah, Will Wall contingency of that millennials tribe. I don't know. I've been trying to rack my brain, but Paul, you probably asked this question with an answer in mind, right?
How did you know? Have you podcasted before?
No.
No. You never podcast, Mike. First time. Yeah. So like, and I think I definitely see the same things as far as the millennials, but I think as a whole, like season as a whole, the kind of vibes I'm getting from this season is an Exile Island vibe. And I hope that's a really good thing because I think all of us can, you know, talk about the greatness of Kasaya and all those things. And the reason I bring that up is obviously that season was a little bit older, but I think you have this name of the season that's something island. It's something spooky. It's something mysterious. And I remember very distinctly in the beginning days of Survivor Exile Island, trying to really figure out what Exile Island was and what role it was going to play. And I think in the end, it really wasn't like that big of a game changer. Kind of like, I think this isn't going to end up being that much of a game changer, but just buying into the mystery of what's going on and having a group of young, energetic people who are going to be figuring it out. I don't know. I just got Exile Island vibes with this season.
Oh my gosh, Mike, who is the Shane Powers of this season?
Oh, it's got to be Dominic.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I hope he's out there with his fake, I guess it would be an iPhone now.
Yeah, no, well, he would say, he's like, I'm on my iPhone. And he's putting that bamboo shoot under the bush and is listening to it. Yeah. Listening to my Apple Music.
Just put some rocks in his ears using my AirPods.
I gotta get pumped for the challenge.
Oh my god. As long as he doesn't come to your shitty apartment and kill you.
Well, wait, yes. This is perfect because Stephanie Johnson is the Courtney Merritt then.
Yes.
Ooh, yes, 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 yes. I guess you're doing some fire dancing.
Oh my gosh. I'm inspired for my preseason predictions.
Do we feel like there are some other one-to-one comparisons? I don't know. Donathan seems like a kind of a Ceri, or Donathan or Laurel definitely seem like Ceri types to me.
Oh, I have one. Sally and Kellen, about the same age, from Chicago, divorcees.
have a new apartment.
haven't seen her knee socks, but.
Is Wendell the Bob dog?
I could see that. Well, yeah, Wendell said he likes to talk a lot of trash. Bob dog liked to at least show a lot of trash. Who is who's not a smasher out of this group? I guess who's really not outdoorsy? It could be the Ruth Marie.
How dare you?
Shots fired.
I could see a Timber Tina coming out in Angela.
Yes, I could see. And Brendan is totally has some deets mode in him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Full deets
mode.
See
that. Chelsea could be a Misty. Hope she doesn't get bitten up with the bugs quite as bad.
We got to get her some knee socks.
Or Libby, because Libby's going to play that flirt card, much like Misty tried to be. We talked up in the Survivor Historians about how she was the OG Parvati that everyone has forgotten about.
That's right. Right. Well, so then beyond just talking about this group as a whole, I want to go through one of my like favorite things to think about when a season comes on are people who have shared the same names from past seasons. I know last season we had fun with all the Ashleys and stuff. So I want to kind of go on the list here. I'll kind of go back and forth. If you really feel something strongly about a name you didn't get, you can pipe up. But I want to start with you, Mike. We have a Morgan. This is our third Morgan. Is the Morgan this season going to be more like Morgan McDevitt from Survivor Guatemala or Morgan McLeod from Cagayan? What are you seeing for this Morgan?
I'm more like the Morgan tribe, I would say, overall. If only there was someone named Drake on this season. It would be like the perfect like meta narrative of here are the two gods of Survivor Pearl Islands battling it out. You know, like Attack on Titan or something like that. I mean, yeah, this Morgan, I would say, I mean, Morgan McDevitt, she went out in episode 2. Nobody remembers her except the fact that she was a magician's assistant and she made her edit disappear pretty much. I think she was just weak, and that's why Yashad decided to get rid of her. And it seems like Morgan, if anything, is a very physically adept person, especially for those water challenges. Now, does that mean she's going to have a work ethic like Morgan McDevitt? I'm not entirely sure. But I would say, at least from a longevity perspective, I would say she's more like 28 Morgan than 11 Morgan.
All right, Liana, Chris, is this Chris going to be more like the winner of Survivor Vanuatu, Chris Daugherty, or Chris Hammonds from Millennials Gen X?
Oh my God. Let's see. So Chris is such an interesting character for me. And so he does have he's wearing a sleeveless shirt. So if we're going to talk about Chris from Vanuatu, but, oh my gosh, I have no idea. This is such a silly game. He's going to be a weird, let's not put Chris in a box, okay? Chris is such a unique
Liotta, you're missing this. You're missing this. It's a spectrum on a from Chris from Vanuatu to Chris. Where is he leaning? We're not putting anyone in a box. Oh. We're not. You know, it's a spectrum here. Where does he lean?
Well, I've been confused all weekend when it comes to reality television. So I think I'm gonna go with. I guess I want to say he's more on the Vanuatu side.
All right, great. Mike, James from the season, more like James Miller Palau or James Clement Survivor China?
Oh, can I say none of the above? He does not fit in with either one of those personalities.
It's a spectrum, about? Mike.
It's a spectrum. Yeah, yes, I don't know what spectrum is either, other than it being my cable provider. I would say, I think his physique makes him more like James Clement just at the outset.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, Liotta, this is a three-part spectrum, so I'm not sure how it works. It's like a triangle spectrum.
No.
So, Michael,
it's like one of those like red, green, blue when you pick the colors in Microsoft Paint.
Yes. So that's what it is. What are those colors like? Cyan and stuff? Are those like the printing colors?
Yeah, to give like a hex number for where it falls.
Yeah, please give your hex code for where you put this person on the scale.
All right, place this season's Michael, our youngest contestant, Liotta. Michael Scoopin, hopefully not. Mike Jefferson, Survivor One World, or Michael Snow from Karamoan.
Oh, Lord. Where is the furthest away from Scoopin' and halfway between the other two?
That sounds perfect. Now, Mike, this is even more challenging. You have a rectangle now, or a square, okay?
Why are we building out different dimensions?
Because there's more namesakes here. And it's really tricky, Mike, because you have four different points on this quadrilateral, but then you have two Stephanies to place in the quadrilateral.
Hold on. I need to get a piece of paper and a pen first. I get to draw this out.
In this Survivor Stephanie rectangle, we have Stephanie Dill at one point from Survivor Thailand. We have Stephanie LaGrossa in the next corner. We move down to Stephanie Favor from Survivor Cook Islands, who we learned last season has a surprisingly high number of confessionals. And then we move over to Russell Hanson. Should be in the Hall of Fame's Stephanie Valencia. So you need to place Stephanie Johnson and Gonzalez in this quadrilateral. Where do they fall?
Okay, so I'm gonna put Gonzalez actually more towards the Dill section, because if I remember, Jeff Probst was like, Stephanie Dill had an awesome audition video, and then she just sort of fizzled out. Yeah, I really don't hope that's the case with Gonzalez, but considering like the big first impressions everyone's getting out of Gonzalez, that's what I'm immediately thinking of. Though I feel like she has some Stephanie in there as well. As for Stephanie Johnson, she's definitely quirky enough. I think that she would be talking about, you know, having some mashed potatoes and having fun. So I'd put her more towards that favor corner.
Yes.
What was the fourth one? Stephanie Valencia. Oh, okay. All right. So let me map this out then. So this is top left and this is bottom right.
This is
okay,
really
so I'm going
to follow.
Yeah, I'm going to put Stephanie Gonzalez. I'll put her sort of like in between the line that bisects the rectangle of the hypotenuse between Stephanie Dill and Stephanie Valencia. And then I'll put Stephanie Johnson. I'll put her more so in the Stephanie Favor corner.
Wow, Mike, that is how it's done. Liotta, your last spectrum, is our Jenna more of a Jenna Lewis or a Jenna Maraska?
Oh, wait, thank goodness.
It's so much easier.
What?
I did not come here for a trigonometry lesson, okay? So
yeah, where's the cosecant of that triangle I just drew?
The head writer has spoken, Mike. Shh.
Okay, what were my two options? Jessica Lewis and what?
Jenna Lewis or Jenna Maraska.
Let's see. I will go. Oh my gosh. I mean, both were such big characters, and Jenna seems a little not so big character. I could see her maybe more Jenna Maraska, actually. Okay. That's where she's falling in the spectrum.
Good. I like that. And there are last three here. You can work as a team because there's only one other person who's had their namesake. Desiree this season, better or worse than Desi Williams from last season?
Oh, recency bias. Well, Desi was someone who I felt like we liked much more out of the show than what the show actually gave us.
Right.
So That's tough. I don't know, Liana, are you more impressed by Desi even through the preseason than you were with Desi throughout her 8 episodes of Survivor Triple H?
No, I think I was more impressed with Desi from Triple H, in my personal opinion.
Ooh, interesting.
I like Desiree.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We might be at odds here, but I feel like, yeah, let's defer to the person who's actually been on the show at this point. So I would say that I'm going to slight Desi Williams right now, though I'm hopeful that, you know, Desiree can surpass her as she hopefully makes it through the game here.
All right. And Brendan this season, can he do better than Brendan from Token Chains? Is he going to make a bigger splash?
I don't know. He's got Terry Dietz vibes. So
I mean, I don't know. He didn't Brendan have a very similar story about how he like quit his job to start his granola bar company? I feel like this might be another person who has very similar vibes to another previous castaway.
Very similar. All right, our grand finale here, Chelsea. This season, Ken should be better than Miss Survivor finalist Chelsea Meisner.
Well, by better, I'm trying to figure out what that criteria entails. Because
will she stand for her final tribal council speech?
Oh my gosh,
she'll do a cheer. She'll do a dance.
That's right. Yeah, she is a cheerleader. Oh my gosh, can you imagine giving a final tribal speech in cheer? Okay, yep, she's going to do better because of my prediction. That's what's going to happen.
That'd be really hard with the new format where it's like not just like rehearse speech. It's like you have to like, you know, react to every question with some sort of cheer.
Yeah, she has to say in character the entire time.
I love it.
All right. Well, thank you for playing my game / answering my question. I think I understand this cast a whole lot better.
And I understand geometry a whole lot less now, so I think it balances out well. My question that I want to throw out here before we move on to some other stuff. We talked about this before with, you know, the concept of Ghost Island being one to sort of reverse the curse and possibly incorporate some of these advantages. Do we feel like we are in the quote-unquote advantage era of Survivor? Can we officially give it that title right now? And if so, where would you say that advantage era started in Survivor history?
Well, I know a lot of people talk about this being an advantage era of Survivor, starting somewhere, I've heard, you know, potentially around Koh Rong, Cambodia. I mean, I think by Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, for sure, it felt like there were advantages all over the place. Game Changers, it felt like there were a lot, but mainly just because they were saved towards the end. And then, of course, 3 went home, which I'm still dealing with in my own way. So, I don't know. It's really hard when you're so close to really get perspective on whether or not we can call this the advantage era. But I think if we were, and we were to say when it started, probably it's got to be somewhere around Game Changers.
Yeah, I think if we look back to say, okay, when did the era of hidden immunity idols really come to be? You have it like trickling in 11 and 12 and 13. And I think by the time you hit Fiji, where it really hits where multiple idols are located, there's one at each beach. When it gets played, it gets replaced. And it really, and you know, the timing of when you play the idol comes into play from what we see today still. So I think that there's usually a few seasons, like Lana was mentioning, leading up to where it's going to go. I think this has potential then to be the solidified Fiji. How appropriate. We're back in Fiji. You know, the Fiji of this modern era of, yes, this is how advantages are going to work moving forward. Because I think up till now, it hasn't been clear. Just like those immunity idol seasons, it was not clear exactly, like, could you play this for someone else when the vote was, after the vote was read? There were a lot of questions about idols, and I kind of see that happening now. So I think this has the potential for being the beginning of the official advantage era.
Maybe this is me trying to make like a clean cutoff when there really shouldn't be. I personally think the advantage era started with season 30. And like you said, Liana, I feel like it has been a trickling in at some point that have sort of built to something a bit more, especially in 34 through 36 at this point. But I remember back in the beginning of the preseason of Dirty 30, when we got this hint that there's going to be a new twist added into the game that's never been seen before. And then we get to the auction and this extra vote gets thrown in there. And we were all very excited as to like how this might get incorporated into the game. I feel like I totally agree with what you're saying, Paul, about how there's been things like the actual idol itself or other twists that have come and gone that, you know, shaking up the game a bit. But I feel like that was one of the first sort of landmark things that started funking a bit with like the the voting mechanisms or certain things, powers you have within the confines of the game. So then, you know, we get the vote steal coming back in the next season. The season after that, you get the super idol and another edition of the extra vote. Then 33 comes around. We start getting the legacy advantage and the reward steal. So I feel like it was Dan Foley's extra vote that sort of was, you know, the inciting incident that has sort of led to where we are right now.
It's always Dan Foley's fault. That makes sense.
Yes, when in doubt, just blame Dan Foley, and he'll probably blame your mother in an unedited scene.
That's actually, maybe that's what I'm going to do. Whenever I'm, you know, something bad happens, I'm just going to blame Dan Foley. Just anything in my life. Like, oh, crap. Like, I dropped my eggs and they all broke. It's probably Dan Foley's fault.
Well, maybe if you like that segment or not, just blame Dan Foley out there, folks. I think that's probably the easiest thing to do. let's move on into some other stuff here. Last season with Rob, we tried to crack a little bit into the cast, speaking of eggs, by doing some superlatives, the most likely that we would think people would do. And it was really fun at the end of the season to reflect back on really how wrong we were about our preseason predictions on these casts. So we thought it would be fun to sort of do a deeper dive into the cast by going back to some of these superlatives. So here's how it's going to work. I'm going to read off a superlative. We'll go around the horn and we'll each name one person who we predict by the end of the season will have fulfilled that superlative. And we'll check back 14 weeks from now and see how correct or incorrect we are. Let's start off here. Most likely to get a hashtag. Who do we think are going to be our camera hogs here, people? Paul, let's start with you.
I think it's going to be Sebastian, because I think they're going to give him a hashtag for a word he says incorrectly, because he messed up the word like conniving, like three different ways with three different people. I wish I would have written down exactly what he said. It was like connivious or something. Like, he messed it up at a couple different occasions. So I can see him saying some survivor term like strategy or immunity or something and just messing it up in some way and that becoming a hashtag.
You can't wait. I just got individual immunization and I'm safe for this tribal
exactly.
council.
You see, it would either be that or it would be Angela, who in the ET Canada did these videos where they'd ask one question and they would show just everyone's answering them. They're kind of fun questions. One of them was, what is one trait that every survivor winner has? And most people were like, oh, you have to be social. You have to blah, blah, blah. It cuts to Angela, who says socialism.
Yes, he will be definitely the king of malaprops, like, for sure. But I gotta go with Donovan, just because he's gonna get like 80% of the airtime, right? Probabilistically, he'll get one.
Yeah, probably he has the probabilistics against him going with that one. Going back to Sebastian briefly, he also said something in First One Out where he said, like, I'm a quiet pirate, you know, I can still shiver the booty. Which does not, I don't know exactly what pirate's coves he's coming from, but I feel like that's not necessarily a pirate phrase, at least in the pop culture I've checked out.
That's actually a Krampus phrase. Love to shiver the booty.
No, you lose your voice, Paul.
Wait, what was it? Shiver the booty?
Sorry. Yeah, I don't know. It's usually shiver me timbers or like, you know, dig up the booty. He squash the two of them together into his own sort of portmanteau, or
I don't know
what he would call it, like a port lady foot is probably what Sebastian would call it.
That's fantastic. I'm going to start using that hashtag shiver the booty.
So I'm going to go with, I totally see where you're coming from, Liana, with Donathan. I'm going to go with Jacob. I feel like Jacob is going to be somebody that, who I thought, you know, when I did this draft with Rob back before 33, I think we both put like Zeke as number one with a bullet. Turned out they used hashtags in a little bit of a different way that season. But I feel like you at your gut go with like the big kind of goofy, bombastic character. And so I feel like Jacob's a nice, safe pick here.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's a good pick. Although, did you see he shaved his beard and everybody is really mad about it?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, about the beard shaving, I just saw some of the comments about the, oh my gosh, we don't like him anymore. I mean, I think it's a joke, but anyway, just
wow.
So you know, he shaved his beard. I know.
Who would have thought that Jacob Durbin would be the Felicity of Survivor 36? Already instigating this much content. Unfortunately, I guess he already filled that that we don't need to go through that that superlative as well. The most likely to be Felicity. But let's move on to the other side of the visibility spectrum here. who is the most likely to get a purple edit out of this cast? And yes, one tribe is purple, but we'll go past the actual literal connotations of it. Paul, who's going to be purple here?
I'm going to give some of the orange edit, because I'm going to go to the Malolo tribe and say that Jenna has the highest probability of blending into the background, not connecting, because I feel like she's the hardest person to get a read on. I think she is interesting, and watching her was a little bit better than just listening to her, but she just doesn't seem to connect with the camera in a way that the other people are. And if that's coming up in the preseason, if she doesn't play a very important role in the season, I can easily see her being cut out.
Mm. When I was trying to think of who I would give this to, I was like, okay, who do I not remember from the videos? And then
exactly.
I was like, well, that's not because I can't remember them. Jenna was top of my list for sure. I could also see Morgan potentially slipping into that. I didn't really remember, apart from the fact that she trains killer whales and she was a swimmer. I didn't really remember anything.
She's great
else.
Shoulders.
Just fantastic shoulders. But apart from that, yeah, I didn't remember anything about her either.
Are you defaulting with the person I don't remember as your pick?
Yeah, person. Yeah. Well, we're going to go with Jenna, but I'll say Morgan.
I'm going to go with Chelsea, just because Chelsea, maybe it's just because I listened to First One Out episode one a couple weeks ago and then sort of binged them all in the past week. And she was Josh's second interview. And so unfortunately, she's the one that when I went back to the cast, I'm like, who is this person? So maybe, she get a crimson edit because of the color of her hair. But that's who I'm going to pick.
I remember that she's a dancer. So.
Yeah.
Maybe the fact that it's that's also an indication that you're going to get a purple edit, dead air. we don't have anything else to say about you.
She has kind of reddish hair.
Well, speaking towards the movement of dancers, who is most likely to flip? And again, not in a literal connotation, so I guess we can count Chelsea and Donathan out in that perspective. But Liana, who's most likely to flip for you among the Ghost Islanders?
Oh, it's going to be Sebastian, but not on purpose. He's just confused. So yeah, I'm going to go with Sebastian.
What about you, Paul?
I am going to say the person who seems like he is coming out playing the hardest. The first thing he does is he sits down with Aaron from ET Canada. And the first thing she tells him is, wow, I'm getting a really intense vibe from you. And he's like, dang, and I'm trying not to do that. So I'm going to go with Dominic. I think he is one of the most eager people to play the game and most likely to flip just to flip. Mm.
Yeah, that's interesting. I could see Dominic there. I'm going to go with RHAP's very own Laurel. I feel like she is someone who is a super fan, is ready to geek out about this game. But at the same time, I feel like out of a lot of the big super fans that we saw, she's probably the most eager to just sort of tear through that game. So I feel like it's either her or Bradley, because Bradley just seems like someone who is ready to go in there and manipulate everyone to his heart's content.
Well, Laurel did say, she's not here to make friends, and she practiced lying to her boyfriend. So, if you're going to flip, you got to practice lying.
I really do wonder, because she said she lied about her whereabouts. Was she coming up with big fabricated lies, or were they small white lies?
I have to imagine they were small white lies. What are you going to sorry. No, I know I said I was going to the grocery store. I'm actually skydiving right now.
That's the thing, though. We'll see how good she is at the game. If she doesn't do too well, then maybe that lying was not very good. She said her boyfriend was just humoring her of I'm not home right now. I'm on the moon. I'll see you at 7.
Yeah, that's not good.
All right, let's move on here. Most likely to be medevaced. We haven't seen a medevac in a few seasons, but we've got a big old cast here. Liana, who do you think is most likely to get medevaced here?
James, because he's got to stick up his butt. He was just so, from all of the interviews and First One Out and people talking about him, he was just this robot kind of guy. I don't know. I don't think anyone really from this cast stands out to me as somebody who's going to be medevaced, but I'm going to go with James just because I thought of that joke.
Now, will they say in Ghost Island, you must find Eliza's stick? It's hidden up one of your castaways' rear ends. You must dig in the dark of night to find it.
Survivor, Proctologist Island.
We're going to save that one for the Survivor on CBS All Access. I don't think we're putting that on primetime yet.
The late night version.
Yeah, exactly. The 12:35 slot.
We'll pair that up with Pop.
Yeah, nice.
What about you, Paul? What do you think?
I'm going to go with a potentially ironic situation. If Chelsea, the EMT slash dancer, was medevaced, wouldn't that be ironic? And then we can have a, you know, interview of her on the stretcher being like, this is so sad. This is what I do every day.
I enjoy the irony. She couldn't save herself.
I was thinking about Donathan, because he talked about how apparently he's just like, his mom told him not to be clumsy, and he could totally be like Abu from Survivor Fiji, where he's just tripping all over himself. But I'm going to go with Sebastian, just because I feel like Sebastian is somebody to like be so gung-ho about being in the ocean that he like cuts himself on a seashell and has to get medevaced because of it.
He'll like accidentally stab himself with the fishing spear.
Help! I got hit by the pear! I don't know what to do!
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one, too.
All right, let's go to our next category here. In honor of JP from last season and things like that, who is most likely to hide an idol in their pants once they find it? Paul, who do you think?
It has got to be Stephanie Johnson. Look at those pants she's wearing. I mean, I feel like a bulge in those pants would be like the least, like the thing you would notice the least, because she has about, you know, 10 different colors going on with her outfit. So I think Stephanie's pants.
What are the hex codes on those pants? Can we figure that out on the spectrum?
Right. No, I got to learn those if she's going to stick in for a while. If there's going to be any fashion segments this season on B&B, we really got to get those colors down.
I think Stephanie was actually on my list also, but I got to go with Dominic. I think just, you know, we talked about him playing so hard. He's totally going to run around and stick an idol in his pants.
Now, will he call attention to it, though?
Oh, probably.
Hey, everybody, look at my pants.
Yeah, is that an idol in your pants? Are you just happy to see me? Nope, that didn't work from him. Never mind, scratch it.
I'm going to go
who said that line years and years ago was Tina Wesson on David Letterman during the top 10 countdown. There's a clip of Tina Wesson saying, is that an immunity idol in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Aw, hello, Tina.
So maybe this should be changed to most likely to channel Tina Wesson on David Letterman, though that would be a very specific superlative that nobody would get.
Deep cut.
Deep cut, much like Sebastian will get when he plays too much in the ocean. I'm going to go with the youngin. Give me Michael for most likely to hide an idol in his pants, just because I feel like he's someone else that would also want to flaunt it. And if there's someone who happens to be looking in his way because of it, he can, report them to the police.
Oh my god, he's 18, Mike. No, but that's actually a really good, because didn't he say like he's definitely gonna get in a showmance, and what better way to get in a showmance than saying I have an idol, and then somebody's like, well, I need to see it, and then it's
well, I teach high school, so I have many 18-year-olds, and high schoolers love to hide their phones in their clothing and then also use them and try not to get caught. Like I've had them in their hoodie, so they're like looking down their hoodie as they're texting, and it's like in their stomach, and they love to stick it in really weird places to act like they don't have their phone out. So he may have an advantage there, just his generation.
Well, if Dominic is the Shane Powers of this season, and he's got his fake phone, and he's going to hide an idol in his pants, and Michael's going to hide an idol in his pants, they can probably teach each other some tricks.
Oh boy, that's again for the 12:35 hour of Survivor. Those types of tricks.
He's 18, Mike.
Let's move on to our next superlative here. Who is most likely to, when they stay in the game, get the sound drop on RHAP of this hit song, We Kept In the Douchey Guy? Paul, who do you think?
I think the person most likely to do this is going to be someone who's not a super fan, someone who's easily charmed by someone else who might be douchey on the cast and that doesn't really see, you know, the necessity in getting them out. So I'm going to go with something like a Libby, someone who's pretty new to the game and would maybe fall for a douchey guy and keep him in the game. So my pick is Libby.
I have to go with Chris, because I think I saw somewhere on Reddit that I can't wait to hate him because he's like the second coming of Drusus Christie, which I thought was really funny. So I got to go Chris.
Drusus Christie.
Yeah. That could be our new, that could be our superlative for next year.
Most likely to be Drusus Christie. Yeah, we'll put it on the B side of the superlatives, with most likely to channel Tina Wesson during the David Letterman top 10.
Can we hang up a picture of that in the B&B?
Yes, in the B and badass room. That's where we'll hang it up. Oh, Lord and Savior, Drusus Christie.
Yeah, well, I have this mental image of Drew Christie photoshopped like in a Jesus outfit with like a halo and stuff. Oh man, I gotta make that and print that for my apartment.
Listen, I need fish for this feast. I'll trade you this fish for the flint that I have back in my hut.
Exactly.
I'm going to go with, I know we keep talking about like Michael and Dominic, so I'm going to go with Bradley here. Just to clarify, I'm talking about the subject of the song. Paul, I think you were going for the person who might instigate the song. Right. If that was the case, I could see Libby. I could see somebody like a Stephanie Johnson who just wants to love everybody. So I guess that's my pick from both sides.
Well, Bradley did say that he likes to make fun of people. He has a hard time interacting with people who are simple or not smart. So, yeah, I mean, if anybody's going to be a douchebag, like, I could totally see it being Bradley.
All right, let's move on here. We're getting super meta here. Sorry, Paul, the super fan talk is happening right now. Who is the most likely to make a mistake that will be highlighted in Ghost Island 2? So who is going to Eric Reichenbach their place onto the next Ghost Island season? Liana, what do you think?
Oh, Sebastian. He's got Jason Siska written all over him. Not literally.
Yeah, probably a lot of misspelled words.
Yeah.
What do you think, Paul?
I was thinking Sebastian, but I'll go with Chris on this one. I mean, Chris is bound to make some big bonehead mistake that the show's going to love and really play up.
I'm going to go with, I keep going back to the Bradley well, but I'm going to go here again, just because in First One Out, like the last thing that Bradley told Josh was like, listen, I'm going to make for good TV. So like, I'm cool if I go down in flames and make for good TV. So he is totally going to be that person who like overthinks something or misplays something and is going to go down, and we and him are going to enjoy how that happens.
Oh, good. I love good TV. You go, Bradley. Sorry, I called you a douchebag.
Currying favor. And you might want to curry favor depending on your pick for this last superlative. Who among the Ghost Islanders are most likely to start a podcast? It's become a big boon nowadays for former Survivor contestants to start podcasts, whether talking about Survivor or anything really under the Fijian sun. Liana, who among these 20 do you think is most likely to start a podcast?
Well, it's going to be Stephanie Johnson for sure, because she has so many jobs. She's going to call it Stephanie's Rectangle, and she's just going to talk about all the four things that she does and her kids, and it's all going to be in that that nice little box.
What if it was like The View, but I can podcast for them with all Stephanies? Just get them all on the podcast or on the podcast together.
Oh, can we call it like Step by Stephanie?
Yeah,
there we go.
I like it.
Oh man, yeah, add that to our list of really great ideas.
Yeah. Perfect. And I'm putting that right in the fire, just like Lauren Seashell. That might come back this season. Paul, what about you?
I thought maybe someone like who just loves to hear himself talk, like a Chris or something, but I might go with someone like a Desiree. She kind of is like, you know, has a lot to say, and she's young, and I feel like she could maybe not necessarily Survivor related, but I could see Desi getting into the podcasting universe and having stuff that people want to listen to,
like creative ways to wear bathing suits. I could totally see that.
Yeah, like, can we talk about that for a second? I know we're not doing a fashion segment, but what is that a thing to have both straps on one side of your body?
Is it supposed to be like that?
I was trying to figure out, is this the way it's designed, or is this her innovation on how to put it on?
I don't know. I mean, that shows she really thinks out of the box there. You can't put her in a box. She wears her bathing suit in new, innovative ways.
She would not be on Stephanie's Rectangle.
No, absolutely. No, I think Desiree Dishes would be its own popular podcast.
Yes.
I mean, I have to go with the person who quite literally said that they would do a podcast after the show in her First One Out interview. So I'm going to go with Kellen, who, if you remember, said she wanted to do a podcast with her brother called Two Peas, Two Pods, about how different they are as siblings. Paul, will you be doing that with your brother?
Yes, I think that's a very smart idea.
You got to steal that name before she takes it. I heard no copyright on that, so I think you're good.
Gotta get on that.
So, unless anybody has any other superlatives they'd like to add, we have brought back another segment that we love so very much, the Casuals Corner. So I have gone into the depths of the Survivor Facebook page, and I have pulled up some questions on what the Casuals are saying about this new season of Ghost Island. So are you both ready to play? Mike, Paul?
Yes.
I bet they're totally reasonable and say nothing wacky.
Nothing wacky at all. So, Paul, we'll get the first question to you. We're going to alternate back and forth. So there are four comments. One I wrote. The other three were pulled from the Survivor Facebook page. So these are comments that were in response to a post that said, Survivor is the best because... Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't provide that open-ended sentence there, Survivor. You are playing with fire.
Exactly. So, A, Survivor is the best because I watch it. B, Jeff is a nice fella. The stage is a great idea, at least from Robinson Crusoe. Nice chicks in bikini, $1 million. Enough? Smiley face.
Oh, okay. God.
C, Survivor is the best because it's not. I miss the days of no idols and starvation. Call the Ghostbusters. Or D, it has 34 seasons without a shameful production interference. And I don't know if that one's sarcastic.
I'm going to go with A is fake.
That is incorrect. It was C.
Was incorrect.
is incorrect. Yes, Survivor is the best because I watch it is what somebody said. So
now, do you post these fake comments, or do they just remain within your notes for the show?
They just remain within my notes. But see, well, because then it's, you know, if I post it, then it is a Casuals comment.
That's true. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I do like that fake one, though, because I like sort of warping the question to your own whim of like, Survivor, I like Survivor is great because not, just kidding, it's not great at all.
Not psych, suck it. Okay, so Mike, this is your question. We're responding to the same post. So Survivor is the best because A, starts on my birthday. Can't wait. B,
okay.
It's not celebrity like Big Brother. What would those celebs do on Survivor? It would look like Gilligan's Island. C, backstabbing and treachery. It's like being back at work. Thankfully, I'm retired. Or D, I get to ignore my family for an hour on Wednesdays.
Oh, boy. I have a lot of questions, particularly with C and D. First, what is C's work situation? And what is D's family situation?
Like, I'm worried for both of these people.
Yeah, they've opened up a can of worms. I don't know where C works, where they're like, oh, it's just my workplace is just like Survivor. Like, that's not a healthy. I'm glad you're retired, because that's not very healthy, unless you worked on Survivor.
So much for Jeff's push-up. There are so many kids and families that watch this show together.
That's true. No, there's so many people that stare at the screens independently and occasionally chime into each other, sitting next to each other on the couch.
This is a great show to remind you how much you hate your job, you hate your family, you hate your kids. Survivor's great because it reminds you of the horrible world you live in.
At least it doesn't look like Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, so that's what I feel like. It's got to be A or B. And I feel like B is real, because I do feel like we've seen these comments come in sometimes where people use the Survivor page to complain, again, for their own agenda, to complain about other CBS reality shows. Though it does come to mind of, if the Celebrity Big Brother cast was on an island, who would fill each role in Gilligan's Island? That might be an off-season podcast. I can imagine that. Oh man, I don't know who. Would Meta World Peace be Gilligan, or would James Maslow be Gilligan?
That's actually what we should just turn this podcast into. We're just going to recast other shows as different shows. That's the whole concept. So now we're casting Celebrity Big Brother as Gilligan's Island.
Now, Paul, Gilligan's Island was an old show where they were on an island together. Seven people. It had a really catchy theme song. Do you remember this?
Oh, see, I was thinking like, for some reason, I was thinking Jillian's Island. So I thought it was something that Jillian from Gabone did. So sorry. My bad.
No, Jillian's Island only lasted one episode. They collected enough elephant dung to burn down the entire island and they all died as a result. So very quick end to Jillian's Island. So I'm going to go with which one was A? It was the I Love Survivor because what was that one again?
Starts on my birthday. Can't wait.
I'm going to say A because I don't know many people who were born on February 28th.
That's incorrect. It was D.
It was so nihilist.
I know. Well, because there were a lot of people saying, I'm excited to watch with my family. So I just flipped that one.
That pissed Leona off.
I was like, no, these people are happy and have families. How dare they? Okay. So now moving on to question three. So this is for Paul. So what the Survivor Facebook page did this year is they actually had separate posts for every single cast member, which was a pain in the butt, but it did lead to some really funny answers. So this is from Chris's post, and the title was something along the lines of Chris is going to be the flavor of the month. So these are four comments, again, one that I wrote, but are in response to that post. A, what's the flavor? Egotistical vanilla? B, but he's so white. He'll be the ghost of Ghost Island.
Ooh.
C, flavor of the month. That means in a month, he'll be replaced. Or D, first of all, gross. Secondly, don't trust anyone from Florida.
Okay. It's yeah, it's right now I'm doing a rewatch of Survivor Karamoan, and I just watched the episode with poor Julia being you know, not even compared to ice cream or vanilla because she's so boring. I'm going to say that C is a little bit too witty for your casual viewer, and I think Leona, you put that sassy comment in there.
Honestly, I wish I'd written that one. I got to give credit to whoever, whatever casual wrote that. No, the answer was B.
God, overestimate you again, Leona.
I know. I am not as smart.
Egotistical vanilla. I love that because that's pretty much like who Kurt Clark worships in terms of reality TV show contestants. That's his wheelhouse.
Oh my God. When I saw that comment, I like literally laughed out loud and I knew I had to make a question about this just because egotistical vanilla made me laugh so hard. And then also the don't trust anyone from Florida. Like, I don't know where that came from.
That's a very like, anyway. That's a very Lauren Rimmer like generic response. Like never trusted a Floridian in my life.
Yeah, no, don't trust a redhead. Don't trust anyone from Florida. A redhead from Florida? Like, that's the worst.
You might as well burn them right there.
Throw it in the fire like the seashell. Okay, Mike, this question is for you. So this is from Morgan's post, and her title was something along the lines of, telling it like it is. Okay, yeah, so we're so stupid. Okay, A, she needs permission from her boyfriend. Does she also need permission from the killer whales? Lol. B, she reminds me of Dr. Quinn, medicine woman. Shrug face emoji, laughing face emoji. C, when does icy air in Australia, please? A-I-R. And D, I have literally never seen this type of person on any other season of Survivor ever! !!!
Okay, well, all right. I'm looking at a picture of Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, right now.
That's the best comment ever. Like, what a weird ass reference.
Like, so bizarre.
Such a crazy pull.
Oh my gosh.
I love that. And actually, I'm looking at the picture of Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, who's like spooning with her, I guess, her partner, her lovemate on the show. And he kind of looks a little bit like Sebastian. So maybe that's a matchup that first they have an aquatic affinity and now they have this Dr. Quinn, medicine woman connection.
How are Dr. Quinn's shoulders?
They're covered, but they look, you know, she's a medicine woman. So I feel like she's got, you know, her wits about her, and she probably has a lot of fortitude and endurance as well. This is a hard one. This is a hysterical one as well. I feel like D is someone that, I don't know, because Liana, I remember at one point you made up the exclamation point one, exclamation point, exclamation point. But I feel like you also could have made that killer whale joke too, which is so odd about her needing to ask the killer whale's permission. I feel like Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman is too good to be made up. Which one was C again? Oh, it was the Linda's Icy Air.
Linda's Icy Air in Australia, please.
Was that supposed to be made on this post? Was it meant for someone else's page?
I have no idea.
Were they requesting something from someone? I'm trying to figure out what that meant.
I have no idea. It's I-C-Y space A-I-R. When does Icy Air in Australia, please? I like that they're polite about it. Please.
All right. I'm going to go with, again, I feel like that's too specific to be made up. I feel like Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman is too good to be made up. So I'm between A and D here. I'm going to go with A, ask the killer whales for permission.
That is correct, Mike. Yes. The Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman is too random of a poll. Like, I'm not that clever. Okay, so now we're going to go to Paul. This question is for you. So this is pulled from sort of a This Week in Survivor History type question, according to what the casuals think may or may not have happened. So this is just about things that happened in Survivor history. So A, Survivor hasn't had an eating challenge in a number of seasons. The last one I recall was when Cochran went beast mode.
Okay.
B, I want to see a season of people who made those mistakes getting a second chance. Like, for example, Lex Vandenberg, who trusted BR and got burned. Or Jason from BVBVB, who gave Halv a super idol to tie and then got voted out. C, will Cochran come back as a ghost like he did with Debbie on last season? Or D, Tasha was so good at eating bugs on Cambodia, but did she win? No.
It's 11 a.m. We got to go into the Survivor Facebook page and attack Tasha now.
I don't think Liana would do a fake attack on Tasha. At first, I thought maybe B was you, and then it just got like so, so bad. So I don't think it's that. So I think maybe the first one was true, and then that inspired you to write C to make the subtle mistake of saying that was last season when that was in fact two seasons ago. I'm going to go with C.
That is correct. Yes. Oh. I also, I just like thinking that Cochran came back as a ghost. I don't know why that makes me laugh.
Were they talking about Lex Vandenberg or Lex Win Icy Air in Australia, Denberg?
I have no idea. It's so Vandenberge, one word.
Oh, so there's no vowel in there.
I don't know. I don't know how to say it. It's a disaster. I just like the concept of Cochran going into beast mode. Like, this is beast mode Cochran, you know, beast mode cowboy. Better get out of the way.
I mean, as far as I saw, beast mode Cochran did better in two times at Survivor than beast mode cowboy ever did. So that moniker might be adept.
That's true. Yeah, well, we'll get Cochran his own belt buckle. Okay, final question. This is for you, Mike. This is from a post titled, "So Many Bad Survivor Decisions. Which one still has you shocked?" A, the biggest bonehead move was JT giving Russell Hance his idol. The greatest tribal council was the heroes voting off Brandon Hance. B, Johnny Fairplay saying his mom died when she didn't.
Close.
C, I would have to go with Lillian Morris voting out Johnny Fairplay over Sandra Diaz Twine. If Lillian were more cutthroat, Sandra wouldn't have won twice.
Who calls her Lillian?
Would have been the greatest comeback in Survivor history. Or
well, I'm pretty sure this person was looking at the Survivor Pearl Islands Wikipedia page and was copying down the names because they didn't directly remember it. That's why they wrote the first and last name out for each and every person.
Yeah, like Lil being cutthroat. Or D, I can't wait for the new season.
Oh, that's not an answer to the question.
That was, yeah, right.
Well, I feel like A is interesting because actually there was one point in Survivor Care moment, I don't know if you noticed this, Paul, in the first episode where Jeff accidentally calls the favorites the heroes. So I feel like it's actually that not of a bad comparison of accidentally saying that the heroes voted off Brandon Hance, even though in a world where Brandon Hance ends up on the heroes tribe is a very interesting universe. I feel like D is random enough to be true. Oh, man. I don't know. Would you have written out those first and last names? Maybe. Maybe you would be that deceptive. You know what? Just because I love the idea of Lil being cutthroat and going on to become the queen and one of the best two-time players in this person's alternate universe, I'll go with... What was B?
Johnny Fairplay saying his mom died when she didn't.
Ooh, no, that's a good one, too, because it's... A, it's not a decision, and B, that's completely false. It was his grandmother who had died. But I'm just going to stick with Pearl Islands. I'm going to say it's C.
That's incorrect. It was actually D.
Oh!
I can't wait for the new season. Okay, so we're going to go into a really quick tiebreaker. What we're going to do is we're just going to alternate real quick back and forth, and you have to tell me whether or not this was a comment that was said on the Survivor Facebook page or it was not, okay? So, Paul, we're going to start with you. This comment is, amazing race.
Yes, it was.
That's correct. Okay, Mike, when does the show start back up in Arkansas?
That was a comment.
That is correct. Paul, looks like Les M is trying to turn Survivor into a teeny bopper show.
That was.
That's correct. If there were actually going to be ghosts on Ghost Island, I would watch Survivor again.
That is a comment.
Yes, that's correct. Okay, Paul, this will be like watching Victoria's Secret models and Chippendales dancers on Survivor.
Yes, it was.
That's correct. Okay, I run out of them. There were so many really just random comments. Oh my gosh. Ugh. It's so funny. Okay, well, it's a tie. You both win. Congratulations.
Yay, everyone wins when Liana hosts.
Everybody wins. Hooray.
Yeah, socialism.
Socialism. What does every winner of the B&B, what is it? Every co-host of the B&B have to win? Socialism.
Thank you, Sebastian. Thank you, Angela. Let's move on here. We're going to try something a little interesting. We've done some sort of superlative drafts beforehand. We're going to do another draft here as well. And this idea was suggested by the great Brendan Fitzpatrick. We're going to do a Ghostbusters draft. This draft is not going to be for literal Ghostbusters. It's going to be for Ghost Island advantages. So what's going to happen is we're going to each draft three things that we are going to think is going to show up in Ghost Island as an advantage for the players. Now, here's how the quote-unquote scoring is going to work over the course of this season. If the thing that we draft ends up showing up on the season, we're going to get 1 point for that item. If, by our subjective criteria, the quote-unquote curse gets reversed and people are actually able to utilize the item for better gameplay, that item will get 2 points. So we're trying to pick things that we think might not only show up on Ghost Island from previous seasons, but also something that someone might be able to actually work into their gameplay successfully. So, Liana, before this, I deemed you as the winner of basically everything in the B&B last season. You will be deciding the order that we try to draft these ghost-busting items.
Yes, and I have randomly generated a list. So, Paul, you will be drafting first, then Mike, then myself, and we're going to do a snake draft. So I'll do my two picks back-to-back, and then we'll snake back around. So, Paul, you are up first. What is your first pick in our draft?
I am going to take Sarah's vote steal advantage because it played such an important role in that season. So I just feel like that's definitely going to be pushed and I think that'd be easy to implement correctly. So I'm going to go with Sarah's vote steal advantage.
Can you guess how it was going to be used? You talked before about how, for example, they might do like an ironic twist where, oh, Eric gave away immunity. So this is someone somewhere you can steal immunity. Do you feel like there's going to be sort of that kind of tweak on the vote steal?
here's what I can see. They'll just vote steal, and I think they're gonna like do a flashback or play up the whole Suri saying that you're not knowing that's non-transferable. But the twist this time is it is transferable. Can you reverse the twist?
They reverse the language.
Yes. Yeah, that's the terms and conditions. That's the most lackluster twist change.
The fine print. The yes. fine print changed a little bit.
We brought in our in-house lawyer, Troyzan, to affirm that this is indeed transferable. So, all right, I'll go next here. This is a pretty safe pick for me. I'm going to go with James Clement's two unused hidden immunity idols from China. I feel like it's going to be a take on something as simple as you have two idols, do with them whatever you want to. And I feel like with Survivor nowadays, and especially with the caliber of the fans that are on nowadays, nobody is going to leave with two idols in their pocket ever again. So I feel like this is something that A, will easily show up on the show. Jeff touted it even at the reunion for Triple H, and B, something that someone can easily bust by just playing at least one of the idols.
Yeah, I think the likelihood of it being on the show is really high. And then, you know, what is reversing the twist? Is it you just don't go home with it in your pocket? Like, what if you play it incorrectly? But as long as it's not in your pocket, like, that's okay. You reverse the curse.
Yeah, your pockets must be empty in order for the curse to be broken.
Yeah. I really do like that pick. I think for me, my first pick is going to be Malcolm's challenge advantage from Philippines. Because I think, you know, the likelihood of, well, oh my God, I hope there aren't, you know, eight idols, different idols in play. But I think that Malcolm's challenge advantage is something that will for sure come back. And I think the likelihood of getting that right, I mean, I guess you have to win the challenge, but I think, you know, typically when you have an advantage, you know, Malcolm talks about he was just unable to, you know, to hold like his hands weren't that steady. But I think you could come back from that. So I'm going to go with Malcolm's challenge advantage. And then for my second pick, I am going to pick Ozzy's fake idol, AKA the effing stick. It's for sure coming back. I don't know how you play it correctly, but it's going to be on the show. So
whose butt will it be found?
In whose butt? Up James's butt.
Yeah, well, the question is, will it, because I think some people were speculating, will it be like a shoddy looking real idol that people are going to try to convince that it looks real, or is it going to be like the fake idol making kit that Debbie had a choice of on the Exile yacht, that you can make a fake idol like the stick?
How do you play, like, what is the correct fake idol play? Is it you get someone else to play it?
Well, yeah, I guess the question is, do you do like a Bob Crowley gave the fake idol to Randy thinking he was safer, like what David did with Jay? Or do you do like what Joey Amazing attempted to do of, oh, I have an idol around my neck, so you can't vote for me tonight, but it turns out to be a fake and just a big sort of bluff?
Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know. I don't know how you reverse the challenge on a fake idol, but it's definitely going to be on the show.
All right. I am going to go with, Lauren's two halves of the immunity idol. I feel like we're going to do, you could call it that, or you could call it like the Scott and Jason from the BVBVB, to quote that casual on Facebook, the super idol, some sort of idol that's going to require two parts to it. I feel like, you know, in the reel coming into Survivor 36, they highlighted Dr. Mike throwing that seashell into the fire. I feel like it's something that they want to, it was something they experimented with that didn't really come to fruition as it got immediately burned. But I feel like, especially if they're going to keep sending people back, and if we're speculating that they're going to put something into the game every episode, this could be a way to kind of spread it out a bit by offering half of an idol one week and maybe another half of the idol the other week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely see that. You got to find the string, got to find the shell, you know, makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how it would be quote unquote busted. Maybe it's just you, if you play it correctly and get the idol fully assembled, that might be breaking it, considering that Lauren's, you know, idol was rendered inert when the seashell got thrown into the fire. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, I'm realizing that I don't know enough about curses. I got to read up on that, because I'm not sure how some of these curses are going to be overturned. I need to go to Ghost Island.
Well, I mean, you used to be in New Orleans, right? That's like the land of all the freaky magic stuff.
That's true. That was mostly voodoo that I learned about. So if there's a voodoo island, I would be okay with that. But curses, I'm less familiar with.
Yeah, give it another 10 seasons. We'll be on Voodoo Island. Mark it down.
What would that be? Like, here's a doll of your fellow castaways. Put a pin in them if you want them to get a disadvantage in the next challenge.
Do you remember which Survivor contestant brought a voodoo doll as the luxury item?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Chewy Gal, because I feel like that was the big voodoo doll for the entire tribe, right?
No, one season before that, Robert the General, his luxury item was a voodoo doll that there's some like deleted scene at some point of everyone sticking it, and it was supposed to be Maramu, so it has been done before.
See, ahead of his time. That'll actually also be the season of Medivax.
Wait, so how does that go, though? Did they take some of Maramu's hair and like put it, because don't you have to like attribute the voodoo doll to something? You can't just like hold it up and say, this is this person, and I'm gonna poke a pin into it.
I think they're like, ooh, let's put something yellow on it. Ooh, that's the color of their buff. Now the magic starts. Stab, stab, stab. And I mean, it worked. Maramu sucked.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, maybe that was the voodoo doll that sort of put the idea into Boston Rob's head to get rid of Hunter so early.
Perhaps. So is it my turn to pick queer one?
Yes, you have two picks.
Yeah, your second and your third. So you're finishing out your team here of Ghostbusters.
It's a good thing I've listened to so many LFC drafts. I can keep up with this snake draft thing. All right. I'm going to take David's fake idol. I think that's a really easy one to implement and say, I don't know what they do with it. Either it's like, this looks just like his, but it actually is a real idol. Or, you know, someone fell for this and it's fake. We're going to tell you up front, this is fake. You use it as you please. You know, kind of like the kit that Debbie had. So I'm going to take that. And then I feel like I need to take just kind of a regular unused immunity idol since I don't have one of those. So I'll take Andrea's. That's still on the board, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. I like, well, so what's the difference between Andrea's and like any of the other unused hidden immunity idols? Are we just using a generic rule of like, if this idol gets played, the curse has been reversed?
I mean, I think that there's a large section of these are idols that did not get played. So I felt like you have the James one. I feel like I just need an unused real hidden immunity idol.
I still don't know how the curse gets reversed, especially with the fake idols. What? Oh my goodness. Anyway, yes, but yes, that makes sense. Okay, Mike, you have your last pick, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep it current. I'm gonna go with the legacy advantage. Again, this is another one that was highlighted. I'm trying to figure out what's a good way to reverse the curse on the legacy advantage, considering that it is set to expire at some point. I'd be intrigued to see if they pump back the deadline on the legacy advantage, considering that that was one main contributor to advantage getting. Had Sarah not had that legacy advantage, she would have gone home. But also, had Sierra not had that legacy advantage, she probably wouldn't have been targeted that early. But I don't know if we're going to get a different take on it or just another legacy advantage sort of let loose into the game. So I don't really know how exactly it could get busted, but I feel like I'm at least going for the one point of it showing up in the game somewhere.
I guess if you get voted out with it, you didn't mess it up. Like Sierra told, talked about it, and that's why she was targeted. Ghost Island is a stupid concept. I don't know how any of these curses get real. I take back everything I said at the beginning. This, now that I'm thinking about it, this is super confusing. I really don't know how you're going to reverse the curse on any of these.
We're starting the podcast all over again now. All our 15 minutes is rendered completely inert by Ileana's changing opinion.
I'm sorry. With my voice, I can now only make clicking noises.
Like you're saying, maybe it's the curse gets reversed when you don't tell someone about it. So if someone just keeps their mouth shut about having the legacy advantage the entire time, maybe then that'll be okay.
Oh my gosh. See, yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, well, we're going to have to make up our own rules, potentially. Hopefully Survivor will sort this out, but if not...
No! Making up our own rules at the B&B? This is unheard of, Liana.
Simply not allowed. We adhere to the strictest code of rules, of course. Yes. Okay, I think for my my final pick, I'm going to go with Lauren's unused save-a-vote. From Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, because I think also it's probably pretty easy to do. Like, just don't get voted out with it in your pocket or burn it or whatever. Like, just use it, I guess. Or maybe don't get caught. I don't know. But I want a diversity of things and idols. I'm kind of bored by those. So I'm going to go with this one, the save a vote.
I just love Liana. You just gotta just like let it be. You're like just, you're too focused on like how, like how is the curse reversed? It just is. Okay. It gets put in the game and it's reversed. Like you don't, you think too much, Liana.
I have been told that many times in my life. It's why I drink so much. No. Okay. Really though, the terms and conditions for the, you know, that the, what was it that
vote steal.
Sarah had? The vote steal. Yes. Okay. We need the terms and conditions for all of these just because I want to make sure if we're going to lift this curse, we're going to do it properly.
Yes. We got to go through all the legal loopholes that come with
yes,
it.
So I guess we will have no reward challenges this whole season because we will have a 7-minute legal consultation with Troyzan to discuss the legality and terms of conditions for every single advantage. Love it.
It's just Ghost Island, and there's also like a conference table to the side with Troyzan there, like, have a seat. Now that you've earned this advantage, we're gonna go over a few quick ground rules to when you take it back into the game.
Before we get started, can I get you a glass of water or perhaps a cup of coffee?
We're gonna need you to sign this. Click, click, click.
Sorry, coffee's only for closers. You cannot drink any coffee. But here, let me take your picture from my file very quickly.
How dare you? I did hire Troyzan though to be the lawyer of the B&B, so I hope you're okay with that, Mike.
Oh boy, B&B is gonna go out of business in like 6 months at this point now because of that. Troyzan, I don't know if Troyzan necessarily
on that route anyway, Mike.
but we're having fun here. I guess we should we review the ones that we picked? Liana, why don't you go first?
Yeah, sure. So I picked Malcolm's Challenge Advantage from Survivor Philippines, Ozzy's Fake Idol, the effing stick from Micronesia, and Lauren's Unused Save a Vote from Heroes, Healers, Hustlers.
Paul, what did you pick?
All right, I'm walking out with David's Fake Idol from Millennial Gen X, Andrea's Unused Hidden Immunity Idol from Survivor, Kara Moen, and anyone remember?
Yeah, same.
One second. What was my first pick?
It was the vote steal.
They all bled together. The vote steal. Yes, of course, the vote steal. Yes, that's what I have.
You know what? It's a pit. It's a pity this thing is recorded because otherwise at the end of the season I'm just like no, I definitely had that one, you know, the one that gets played in the first.
I could have whispered you like, oh Paul, you had the Medallion of Power, right?
I had that one, yes.
And I had James Clement's 2 Unused Hidden Immunity Idols from China. I had Lauren's 2 Halves of an Idol from Triple H. And I had the Legacy Advantage from Survivor Game Changers. So we'll see how many of these get involved in the season, if they will, if the curse will get reversed and confuse Liana that much more over the course of the season. But we have laid out a bunch of different things that we can hopefully predict on and gauge as we move over the course of this season. I'm personally really excited to see where this season goes, even more so by the fact that we'll be doing the B&B week in and week out here. We'll finish with our typical ender for each and every week, the question of the week. So for those of you that don't know about this, essentially what we do is we ask a question here. You will all respond to us with your answer to the question of the week. And then next week, we will read the answers to that question. So the question of the week this week, I don't know if y'all noticed in a lot of the Meet the Cast videos, there's a lot of weird B-roll stuff going on. I'm sure it's going to be talked about in the Corinne cast assessment because she really hones in on that. But you have between like, I think it was Jenna who drew the fish in the sand and then wrote fish underneath it. You have Michael drawing a house in the sand and putting a dollar sign in it. But my favorite might be Sebastian's take on Super Bowl 2018, where he just takes a big stick, runs out to the edge of the water and mimes like he's fishing for some reason and like actually battles with it.
I think they also edited in like the sounds of a reel also. So I was actually confused because like, oh my gosh, he actually built another Super Bowl. And then I realized it was just an effing stick.
So he already has practice then. So going back again to that Jason Siska comparison. So the question of the week this week is, if you were on Survivor, what would you do in your B-roll footage? The cameraman says, okay, just do something to sort of fill the time in between your talking heads. What activity would you do? I'm excited to hear what you guys would do on those Fijian beaches. You have a bunch of ways you can let us know. You can always tweet it to us using the hashtag RHAPBNB, RHAPB, the letter N, the letter B. You can always respond to this post on the Rob Has a Podcast website, robhasawebsite.com. You can also respond in the Rob Has a Patron group as well on Facebook. Maybe I'm sounding like a casual now. That's a very Sebastian-like way for me to say Facebook.
I gotta write that down. Facebook.
Next casual corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which one of these did you say, Mike?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, maybe that's the next version of Casuals Corner. It's just going to be like three that I pull from the Facebook page, and then one thing that Mike said.
I mean, honestly, they're probably not that dissimilar, so I would definitely lose at that game. You can always reach out to us as well if you guys have any ideas for segments or games that you want to see throughout the season. Again, we're very pliable in the stuff that we want to bring in sort of week in and week out. Let us know if you like the sort of the three question discussion. Again, we want to try to get a little bit more talk about the episode in, along with all the fun and games. And we'll start doing that as the season rolls along next week, as we are bringing in Mr. Taron Armstrong for his premiere episode and the Survivor 36 premiere episode on the B&B. We are catching Taron in the 1 week break between Celebrity Big Brother and Big Brother Canada 6. So we were trying to really strike when the iron is hot. So we'll be talking with him next weekend. Very excited about that, and very excited for the B&B to come back in general. It's made me very pumped that the Survivor season will be back, no matter what curses may get reversed, what have you. I'm so thankful to be back with you, Liana, and so thankful that hopefully you guys are all out there listening and enjoying. If you want to send us any long form comments or game suggestions as well, we have an email address, rhapbnbbnb@gmail.com. To finish things off, let's go around the horn. If you want to give out your social media handles and anything else you might be working on in the podcast atmosphere, Liana, let's start with you.
Yes, I am on social media at Liana Boras, LianaBoras. And if any of you are familiar with curses, please reach out to me. I am looking to edumacate myself, as Sebastian may say, on curses, because I'm really trying to sort this whole thing out. But other than that, I am doing the RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, Mike with you and Brent Wolgamont, and that has been so much fun. And then also the Big Brother morning updates on Saturdays. Stop on by for Liana Saturdays, which will continue for Big Brother Canada when that premieres. Oh my gosh, in 2 weeks. Oh, it's going to be insane.
Yes, hashtag reality TV overload. But as long as you just keep burping, you're going to be okay, a wise man once said. Paul, how can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter. It's just my name, Paul Osleson. And unlike Mike, who is on 55 podcasts a week, I am only on one, the Survivor Historians. We started talking about Survivor Samoa a couple weeks ago, and once my voice is fully back, we'll hopefully dive into part two. So that's how you can listen to what I do.
Paul, you should get medical advice from Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Yeah, I'll hit up Dr. Quinn, see what she says.
Yeah, Jane Seymour's still around.
And that being said, I will be doing exit interviews for Survivor this season for Parade Magazine, as well as all the other shows that I've been covering in the maelstrom of CBS reality that has started in 2018. I finished up the Amazing Race 30 coverage, both doing podcasts on RHAP negative interviews there. I'll be finishing up Celebrity Big Brother coverage as well, in addition to Top Chef, Drag Race podcast, The Hamster Factor, which is a movie podcast, Survivor Historians, as Paul mentioned. It's all happening in the spring, and I'm super excited to have the B&B there as well. That's going to do it for this week on the Survivor B&B, RHAP B&B as well. Thank you all so much for listening. Paul, Liana, thank you so much for coming on. I'm really excited to see what the season is going to provide. But for now, we will see you at your next stay.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if this all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAP B&B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if this all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's